everyone. Welcome along to the first ever live Glow West podcast, which is super exciting. And it's going to be a joint podcast with my podcast family sister, Rachel, from
the
podcast. Hello. How are
you? Hi, welcome back to Disturbing the Peace.
We're like the two naughty kids in the tortoise podcast family. So that's kind of fun. And so today we have a fab chat with an owner of a shop that's quite busy at the moment, because what else are you going to do during quarantine apart from having sex? And so we're talking to dildo slinger extraordinaire Shauna Scott, so award-winning amazing sex shop called sexshop.ie. She's been going for a good few years, and she's also just an amazing person. So her shop sells amazing body safe toys, lube, and it's all lovely and inclusive and gender neutral language and all that awesomeness that you really want from a sex shop in the 21st century.
So you want to shove stuff enough? Yeah, she's got it.
I got it all.
That tone just took a dive right
Hello
there.
And welcome to the Disturbing the Peace After Dark.
Always after dark on our podcast.
So. This is very true.
How are you, Shauna? How are you keeping?
I'm good. I am very, very sweaty at the moment because I'm like currently, when the lockdown started, my boyfriend very graciously said that I could come and like bring everything in my office home to it. So I've been like working from his home for the last couple of months, which has been lovely, but his room, like the window is like westerly facing, so it's like this sun trap in the afternoon, so I am just like bucket in sweat.
Yeah, and not even from sex. It's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. Not the fun kind of sweat.
No, Jesus. I should have said at the start that because it's live, we have a little chat function. So if anyone wants, they can send in questions throughout the chat. And then at the end of our chat, then you can ask questions in person, like a real live human, not through technology. So I suppose we'll start. Shauna, tell us all about your amazing shop and how you got started. I know you're sick of the question, what's a nice girl like you doing? A sex shop, but is a question we want to know.
Yeah. So I suppose like backtrack 15 years ago, I moved here from Seattle in 2005. And then about 7 years ago, I set up Sex Shop because I was in the market for a vibrator and there was no shops in Dublin. And I was kind of like doing vibrations in the States or Smitten Kitten. There has to be something like that here. And I was just like doing my research and realized that there wasn't. I was going to have to fly home to the States to like get the kind of vibrator I wanted and the kind of customer service that felt comfortable to me.
Expensive vibrators then.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I go home once a year to visit my family anyway. I wasn't just flying over for a vibrator. I'm not rich.
The air miles. Yeah. The air miles on that vibrator would be expensive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Life goals for that.
But the mental part was, like, so the sex shop that I was, like, buying from, it's, like, our big, famous female-founded sex shop, was just around the corner from my college that I dropped out of. And I never went in. The whole time I was like in college, I never went in there. And this was like the first time I properly got to go in, and I was really blown away by the level of customer care, like not just customer service, like they knew their sex toys in and out. They weren't afraid to like ask the customer questions about what they want or what they think they might want and then make recommendations based on that. I never experienced anything like that before. Like anytime I've gone into a sex shop, it's always this like real male dominated space where they'll sell you whatever they have too much of. And like the same, like even if there is like a female friendly option that I won't name, but like the aesthetic is very hen party pinks and purples. Again, they're only going to sell you kind of like what they have a load up on the shelf. And there always seems to be like that one big burly security guard that's still like eyeing you down the entire time you shop. And so I was like, I want to make a space that's comfortable for everyone. Well, first of all, I wanted to like create a space that like exclusively sells products made from body safe materials. So like, for those of you who aren't aware, the sex toy industry is largely unregulated. So you can make a sex toy out of any old shite and it's perfectly legal to do so. And so like all the shops in Ireland at the time, dealt in, I mean, they might have some body safe toys, but then they were selling tons of crap PVC toys as well. So I wanted to create a shop that like just from the get-go was only going to stock body safe products and then make it a space that was like inclusive for everybody and made, I wanted every single person that like came to my shop to feel comfortable. And then I went on Daft and I was like looking for retail spaces. And even in the deepest, darkest depths of the recession, there was no way I was going to be able to afford a shop front in Dublin. Like it was just insane. So I decided to go online and I'm so glad that I did that. Like, especially now there's so many shops that have had to shut and shut for good over this. But like on the flip side, like being online has just afforded me many opportunities to be able to like my overheads aren't particularly high. So it means if I get invited to like do a podcast or like go give a talk at a college, like I can drop everything at the last minute and do that. It's not that big of a deal to like, I'm going to shut up shop for a day. Mm-hmm. Like that's fine. And I can get like a friend to like, I have an office who covers for me when I'm on vacation and she'll like put out the orders and stuff. So that like, that's worked out real great for me in terms of, giving me the kinds of hours that I want, but also, for a situation like this that none of us could have ever planned for. It just means that my business has kind of been safeguarded in a way to like, well, to a certain extent until all the couriers stop couriering.
Questionable. And well, you don't have to have like sticky, gross carpets in your shop either. You can.
Yeah. Like, this is it.
God, yeah. With that, and as well, I suppose if you're looking to rent a shop for a sex shop in Ireland, the regulations aren't as great. Like the fact that, like, you know, your neighbors, business neighbors might not be too happy about a filth mongering shop opening up next door.
Yeah, you kind of get relegated to like certain areas of town, like Capel Street. I fucking love Capel Street, but that's where all of the sex shops are because it, and then you're competing with all of these other sex shops. So it's just, and like you have, I think there's a couple on Dorset Street. There's one over by James's Hospital. Yep. So it's like, it's area, like my ideal space. Like when I first started was like, I want a little boutique on Drury Street, like Omdiva. Yeah, and like looking back on that now, there is no way in hell that one, that I'd be able to afford it, and two, that they'd let me on that street. I just kind of want my cute little like George's Street arcade, like Drury Street. Like, no, that's not going to happen.
No, sadly not. But then, you know, serendipity, it worked out for the best. So like, I assume you're doing quite well at the moment because quarantine and, you know, during a recession, the things that sell the most are red lipstick because it's cheap and easy and makes us happy. Yeah. And sex is always free in a recession. So people are buying lots of different toys. Are they buying particular toys at the moment, or?
It's the same things that always do really well, just a lot more of them. So like vibrators are always going to do really, really well, like vibrators and lubricants. And like now it's, I'm selling roughly, well, last month I did like triple what I did at Christmas.
Whoa. Whoa, yeah. That is a lot of pent up riding.
Yeah. Like triple what I did at Christmas, and it's just me and my boyfriend. Like in any other circumstance, I'd be hiring staff, but like I had been doing for like 4 weeks straight, I worked 6 days a week, 12 hours a day for four.
Oh my God. I mean, that's amazing, but also, oh my gosh.
I wasn't sure if I was going to make it, you guys, but it was nice. Cause I was like, I could kind of like see the end in sight. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do this. It's like, obviously terrible for the entire world, but like good for the business at the moment. It was just like so incredibly stressful. And I knew it wasn't going to last forever. So I was just like, just enjoy the stress while it lasts. Because this is not going to last. And then like, once we come out of this, this is another thing that I keep telling myself. Once we come out of this, we're going straight into a recession. And, you know, whatever about the sex industry doing well in a recession, it's still not going to do as well as it had been, because like, yeah. Everybody's like spending much less money. So we might do better than other industries, but it's still going to take a hit. So, it swings in roundabouts, and I'm just kind of preparing myself for what happens next. I'm hoping that it's sort of like a slow decline rather than having this like huge up and then crash down. Yeah. But we'll see.
Kind of precarious. Cause yeah, you can't predict, like a stable kind of thing. Are you kind of like, do you know, like Pornhub, like the whole country stops watching Pornhub for the Late Late Toy Show and watches the Late Late Toy Show instead of Pornhub? Yeah. Are you like that? Do you have like certain peaks throughout the year? Like is Paddy's Day a thing because everyone gets drunk or?
Yeah. So like the weekend that the clocks go back is always a big weekend for me. I think I might have talked about this a little bit on Disturbing the Peace.
No, I don't think you went into this. What?
Oh, no. Yeah. So like whenever it rains, I do really well. Then also like the weekend that the clocks go back, because it's getting darker that little bit earlier.
Oh.
And so that's always a really good like sales weekend for me. But like typically, it's whenever the weather gets bad or dark. So winter's really good. Summer's generally my slower months. Though last year, I don't know, I had a couple of big like media things that happened. I had the haunted ivory dildo.
Oh my God, my favorite thing that happened last year.
Which was like massive. And I'm still, if anyone is out there that like works in a museum, please come talk to me. Because I still haven't found a home for it.
Explain to people what the haunted ivory dildo is, because you can't just throw that in there out of context for anyone who doesn't know what it is.
So the haunted ivory dildo is, it does what it says on the tin, Caroline. It's a haunted ivory dildo. It's a Victorian era dildo that's about like 10 or 11 inches long. That's like carved from an elephant tusk. And a few years ago, I was like, yeah, it was like, oh my God, it was like 3 years ago this month. Insane. Okay. So like 3 years ago this month, there was an auction going for this like ivory dildo. But I was flying off to Ibiza, and so I couldn't participate. And it sold for like $3,200, but the Irish Times said that it sold for $320,000. They accidentally added an extra couple of zeros. And so I was like, oh shit, there's no way I would have been able to afford that. And then, are you taking pictures of me?
Just one. Go on, go for it. You got a market, you know?
Huh?
You can be marketing.
Oh yeah.
Always be hustled.
Yeah.
So the auction like came and went, and I was like really disappointed that I wasn't able to get it. And I was like, and it said that it had sold to like a private American collector. And I was like, well, fuck, it's never gonna see Ireland ever again. That's it. It's gone. And it really, really upset me that something that was like so rare, like such a rare piece of Ireland's sexual history, had left Irish shores and wasn't coming back. And then fast forward to like last summer, a customer messaged me and was like, hey, I was wondering if I could like change the shipping address on my order. Also, I thought that this might interest you. And it was like for an auction, and I clicked on it, and it was like the same dildo. And so I start freaking out, and 2 days later, I went on Twitter. I'm like, look, it's too late to do like a GoFundMe campaign for this. So if anyone wants to take a gamble and just like PayPal me, if we don't get it, I'll obviously like pay you guys back. But I feel like this is something that we can do for Ireland. And I got in touch with the auctioneers, and apparently the dildo had never had never left Ireland, and that's the reason why they were selling it. I was convinced that it was because it was haunted, because the guide price was like a fraction of what it was sold for 3 years ago. So I'm like, clearly the thing's fucking haunted.
I love that's your natural conclusion. It's like, it's obviously haunted. Obviously.
Yeah. Occam's razor. Like, come on. So after having spoken to like the auctioneer, he assured me that it wasn't haunted, but I definitely told every media outlet that it was. Anyone who would interview me, I told that it was haunted. Which also worries me, because they didn't question it. Very few people questioned it. They just went along with it. I was just like, you need to be a little better at your fact checking here. Yeah, so the auctioneer said that the reason it had never left Irish shores was because it was made of ivory, and there's like an ivory import ban in the States.
Oh, yeah,
So the private American collector couldn't, there was no way he could get it past customs in the States. So he was selling it again. So, which was, worked out great for me. So it just became like this big, kind of mini viral thing on Twitter and Instagram. And I did like an Instagram. It's like the only time I've ever done an Instagram live. I hate doing Instagram live. There is like nothing worse. I could think of no greater hell than having to sit there in front of a camera and just like talk for an hour. But I was like, I was hyped up about like this dildo and like what was going on. I could explain the auction to people, and it worked out great. And then people got to see like live in real time my excitement when I realized that I had won, that like we as a nation had won this dildo.
This patriotic dildo.
So that was like a big kind of media, like that got global attention from, like, I did like an interview with the CBC in Canada, and I got a write up on the Forbes website, and it was just like, of all the reasons why I could be on the Forbes website, that would have been the furthest from my mind. But yeah, that was like incredible. And so that happened in August, and then like a few months before that, there was like a few different like influencers on Instagram who shouted out some of my products, and like that gave me a huge boost. So there was a few things going on, and so like I had this like weird bumper year that kind of balanced out like the year before, where I nearly had to fold the shop because of a number of reasons, but the big one being that we had this huge heat wave in the summer of 2018, and nobody was buying anything. Like, when the weather's nice, everybody wants to be outside. They're drinking cans down by the barge. Like, they're going to music festivals and going on their holidays. Like, nobody's, I mean, they might be riding, but they're not using toys, or they're not spending their money on toys because they're spending it on other things. Mm-hmm. So for me, like winter time, Christmas time, Valentine's Day, the weekend that the clocks go back, like those are my big sale season. And then like summer is just like dead. Mm-hmm. But like, oh my God, like running your own business is the most, like if you are someone who needs like a set routine and you need to be like, you need like certainty in your life, never run a business. Because there is just like, it is so uncertain, it is so precarious. But I love what I do, and I'm like, the shop is like so interwoven with my identity that I can't imagine like living without it.
Well, and you're so good at, you know, your Instagrams and stuff, not Instagram Live, but in your stories. You know, your marketing skills are amazing. And I know, you've come into my psychology marketing class and terrified my American students by mentioning sex far too much. But again, it's like that idea of like, how do you market when Facebook won't let you mention the SEX word? You know, like it seems like Twitter is the only main big social media that you can kind of post a bit of smut on Instagram. You have to be very delicate over what you're actually saying and stuff. So like, how do you manage that? Like when you know, you've got this tainted product, which is ridiculous, you know,
yeah, like,
considering the happiness that orgasms can bring.
It's so dumb. Like, I can't get over it. And I keep referring back to, like, late last year when, like, Mark Zuckerberg went in front of a congressional hearing and essentially just said, like, we're okay as an organization with politicians lying in their political ads. Mm. Because they're happy to take their money. Mm. And I don't understand why they won't take our money, because, like, the sex toy industry is, I think the number that keeps getting, like, bounced around is, like, it's $5 billion a year, but it's, like, it's way more than that now. Mm. So there's a lot, and it's not like they don't have, like, age restrictions on ads, because, like,
when I was just going to say, yeah, because I work in this area, and it's amazing what you can do with ads.
Yeah, you can target age restrictions. You can target for age, and so, like, if you, like, have adult content, you should be able to just target people within, like, the 18 or 21 and up age group. Like, it's silly that they don't, and it's down to, like, the SESTA-FOSTA laws that came in, which, like, very little known laws, like, globally, but it's something that's, like, it started in America, but because of that, it means that it has a huge effect globally. So what the SESTA-FOSTA laws are, and I'm totally going to butcher this, but it's supposed to be, like, anti-trafficking. So websites who host ads for, like, sex work can get done for human trafficking. Like, there, if something happens to someone on the website who had an ad on that website, that's why Backpage.com got done. So you have all of these, like, websites and, like, social media platforms and classified ad sites, like Craigslist and Backpage and all of them, who used to have adult content on it. And, you know, at a certain period in time, like, that was, like, the main chunk of their content or what they were kind of most famous for. And now, like, completely just wiping any sort of adult content, like, Backpage.com, like, just shut down completely. Mm. You might remember, like, a year or two ago, like, Tumblr,
yes.
Tumblr was, like, 99% porn and fanfic porn. Mm. And then they decided that, like, and probably due to, like, the SESTA-FOSTA laws, that they weren't going to host adult content anymore.
But they lost most of their business because of that.
Because it was mostly adult content. And I was reading, there's a really great Rolling Stone article that someone put on Twitter, and I can't remember who posted it. But basically talking about, like, the OnlyFans might go that way as well. Mm. Because OnlyFans was effectively, like, built up, its popularity was built up on adult content. But there's so many sex workers and adult content creators on there who are getting their accounts disabled or like, suspended. There's, like, money being taken out of their accounts, and then whoever's, like, they'll write into customer service and they're like, oh yeah, that was a mistake. And they're like, well, can we get our money back? And they're like, no.
Jesus. Well, that's, I know, and, like, anything to it, sex and sex work and anything to it, money is just looked on as such a no-no. Like, PayPal won't process. I think that's adult, and Stripe is a bit difficult about it. And, like, sex workers in the States have had their bank accounts frozen as well. So that's pretty shit. So do you find the Irish banks are okay with you, or is it?
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, like, I don't have a proper, like, business account. I have, like, my current account, and then AIB do my merchant services. But when I first started, I went to Bank of Ireland first. And they would not take me on as a client, like, for merchant services, because their credit card people is Evalon, whoever those, and they're an American company, and they do not deal in adult products or services. So because of that, they couldn't take me on as a client. But AIB could, but AIB were very clear that if I ever sold porn on my site, that they would shut me down. How or that they would dump me.
Sorry, how does that work then with somewhere like Ann Summers? Like, that would be...
They must be through a different banking system, like some, like another...
Like, I'm not asking for insider knowledge, Shauna. Sorry, I know that's probably a weird question, but I'm just thinking that because Ann Summers is kind of sitting there existing, doing both lingerie and sex toys and penis pasta and whatever the fuck you're having yourself. So, like, I'm kind of curious as to how they would get away with that. And then it's smaller, independent... like retailers like yourself then who are getting hit over the head with being like, you're promoting trafficking. It's like, I'm just trying to sell some vibrators. That's all I'm trying to
do. Correlation does not equal causation, but if you type in Jacqueline Gold, the woman who runs Ann Summers, there's a good few articles about her going to Tory fundraisers.
Well, say no more.
Yeah. She's, I think, like the 15th or 16th richest woman or richest person in Britain. Like, she's fucking minted. So I don't think she has any problems with her banking.
He's going to be the one that's going to be flying to America to buy vibrators.
Yeah, putting the air miles on the dildos.
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah. Well, like, if you're talking about practical use, I know, Rachel, you had a question earlier.
Yeah, so... Like, Shauna, me and you have had many, many discussions over the last, like, say, a couple of months about writing, sex, lack of libido, this kind of shit. And what I'm curious about at the moment is, obviously, there's been, like, an upsale or there's been an increased upsale in the amount of people buying sex toys and stuff like that. And what I'm curious about is if you're kind of quarantining with your partner or anyone, really, and you want to bring this up, maybe you haven't brought in sex toys before. And in my experience, and I can only speak to my experience as a basic straight white woman, men don't take well to that when you suggest... You suggest sex toys. They're like, what do you mean? Why? What does this mean about me? It's like, it's not about you. It's not about me. So how do you kind of go about introducing these kind of toys and into your relationships? Like, I don't know can you answer that question?
Don't ask.
Just bring it up.
don't ask for permission. just buy the vibrator. I used to kind of pussyfoot around this with people and be like, have like an open conversation about like bringing in sex toys. And I'm going to be like very glib about this because I've had a glass of wine. And my official line on this is like, yes, you should be open and have like these conversations with your partner. And talk about how you can include them in this blah, blah, blah. But then the other part of me is like, your masturbation life is your masturbation life. And if you owning a vibrator or you owning a sex toy is going to set your partner off into a rage, that's not a good thing. if it is a case of like the person has like mild insecurities, then like, yeah, absolutely. Like, have a conversation about it, but like, absolutely, like, gauge it. Like, if you really genuinely think that your partner is going to have like this big massive problem with it, the problem isn't the sex toy. The problem is your partner.
Yeah.
So like, and it's much, much easier to like go into a relationship already having the sex toys, because then they know what you got. They know what you're working with.
Yeah. I will say, like, I totally admire what you've just said, but it's happened to me on the other end where some guy I was sleeping with was like, he brought up something. He was just like, something about chastity belt or belt forever for your balls. I'm sorry, Tony Groves is now on the floor. But he brought it up to me in the middle of riding, and I've never panicked so much in my entire life. So I was kind of trying to concentrate on doing one thing, and then he was just like, oh, would you consider like putting on a jock strap? What are they called?
Chastity cage. Is that
yes? Yeah. Yes, thank you. And he was just like, would you? And I was just like, I'm just kind of okay. I'm not saying,
yeah. If you're talking like very, very basic sex toys, like let's say, your vibrators, your butt plugs, a dildo, no problem. But if you're getting into like BDSM territory, This is where I suddenly have to, like, there are caveats and levels to these things.
Of course, yeah, of course.
there could be, like, you could be someone where, like, BDSM carries a certain amount of trauma because of past experience. Mm-hmm. And so doing it, like, bringing that up in the middle of writing is not appropriate. Like, any kind of, like, BDSM situation or any kind of, like, power play or control, that shit needs to be talked about before the writing. Like, that needs to be, like, part of foreplay, part of, like, getting into it. You cannot just, like, spring that shit on people. Because even if you're technically the sub in that situation, that's a lot of pressure to put the person you want to top you. That's a lot of, like, that's completely throwing them into the deep end.
But what you also get then, and in my experience, it's happened to me once, or it's where, like, oh, but you're not respecting my kink. It's like, hang on a second, right? I, like, this is not a kink-shaming kind of fucking thing or a podcast, but it's like, you've thrown this on me. And you find it, like, the intricacies of, I suppose, talking about sex and talking about toys and kinks and all that sort of stuff, it's obviously on a scale. But people still find that really difficult to talk about. And I'm just kind of interested in, like, how you kind of negotiate that as you kind of go through, you know, different sex with different people.
Yeah, I mean, like anything, like, it's different from person to person. But I will always recommend, like, I know I'm, like, joking about this, but I would always recommend, like, any kind of, like, power play or power exchange, that shit needs to be talked about, like, long before you hit the sheets, you know? And I think, like, anyone, like, who, anyone who, like, dumps on you for needing a minute to think about it or, like needing, saying, like, oh, you're kink-shaming me, I don't like that scenario at all. Like, that sounds really fucking manipulative.
Sir, just my opinion. Put your penis away, sir, for 2 minutes, please.
But it's like, well, that's not respecting consent or anything. Like, you can't just throw something like that at someone and expect them to be okay and then be an asshole about it if they're not immediately okay with it. Like, that's into abusive territory there.
This, like, I didn't mean to intend this as, like, a therapy session, but you've been both very helpful.
No, let's get into it.
Minus 25.
No, but I'm just thinking, you know that gif of with the guy where the dildos hit him in the face? That's what I just imagined. It's like, you guys are throwing things at each other and just waiting for stuff to kind of happen. But it is kind of, sexual politics, as both of you know, as everyone attending this knows, are inherently complicated and seem to get more complicated as time goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus. And maybe on a lighter note.
Sorry, did I make the tone more serious? I'm sorry.
Well, that's the joy of sex. Like, you literally, it's like messy. No, yeah. It's not all fun and games all the time.
Literally and figuratively.
Actually, yeah. Jonna, were you a fan of the normal people, how normal people has been portraying sex?
Oh man, I have not seen it yet.
What? Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
You have to watch it and then ring Joe Duffy and see what he thinks about it. So, yeah, it's a good thing. But come here. So since people are buying all the sex toys at the moment, how can they store the sex toys safely? Because I know I've stored sex toys before and they've melted each other. And you're like, that's not what you want when you're spending a lot of money on awesome toys.
I think, has Shauna frozen?
Oh, Shauna has frozen. We've shocked her.
We've actually shocked her into freezing. Incredible.
And Shauna's face is frozen on a look of surprise as well. Oh, lads, this is the joy of live podcasts. It's kind of fun. When we're back out in, like, the general public, we're allowed to be...
Oh, she's gone out and she's coming back in again, guys.
But when we're allowed to be out and about again, we can do a live podcast on stage where no one freezes. Well, Tony might freeze, but embarrassing.
Tony, well, that wouldn't be too hard, in fairness.
Yeah, but the rest of us will be fine. We might take this.
I will have you know that I am actually still here. I'm hiding on the floor, but I'm still here.
Tony's face is as red as the red flags we were talking about. Yeah. If anyone wants to send in a question whenever, and we'll share them whenever Sean manages to get back online. We've got one there. Might have answered that, Rachel, have you? What do you think about the representation?
I can't see this. I don't know where they are. Here it is.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, Shauna hasn't seen it, but I know.
I've read it, but I'm happy to answer that from a personal thing. With it, Caroline, if you want to go first.
I would just say I would check out. I really hesitant to recommend the thing because it's a Daily Mail link and we all know how we feel about the Daily Mail. But Alex Fox is a sex educator and she actually has a really good answer to, or a really good article on there, which again, the format is not great, but you know, the content is really good about how she feels that the BDSM in normal people isn't depicted quite well. And actually it's more abuse rather than BDSM as such as well. So that's my recommendation of that. Rachel, you might have a different.
No, actually I do find this really interesting. When I read Normal People, I had just come out of, this is like my sexual therapy talk this evening, which is not what I intended, but anyway. So I have been sexually coerced before, and what it really reminded me of when I looked at Normal People and that BDSM stuff. Now, I haven't watched the TV representation of it, but this is just my interpretation from the book. I really struggled with it because it brought back memories of what had happened to me, and they were not pleasant memories. And I don't think it's dealt with well enough in the book, because what it kind of comes across to me is like Marianne is this kind of tortured soul, and she's suffering emotional abuse from her brother and her mother. And, you know, of course she's going to go into BDSM. And, you know, I don't think it was handled well. I think it was too light touch. I think it was very tropey. And from a personal experience, like that's like, I wasn't emotionally abused by either of my parents, but it still happened to me, and it's quite a hard thing to kind of, it really changes your interpretation of sex, sexual relationships. So I think I would agree with the anonymous attendee who asked that question. I think it was problematic. I think it was tropey. I'm not looking forward to seeing it in the television series because I know it's going to bring up a lot of triggers and memories for me, unfortunately. But I think it's hard sometimes. You don't know if the person who wrote it went through the same thing, so it's kind of hard. But I think unless you have a decent experience, you talk to people about this and how you represent it properly, I think it's a topic best left avoided, to be honest.
Well, that's like, it's such a thing because the silence around trauma, sex, and then you throw BDSM, and then you throw lack of consent and the scale of sexual abuse as well into the mix. Like, it's such an area that, like, we actually still don't really even have the proper language to even consider having a very nuanced conversation. It's not something that is going to be on Joe Duffy anytime soon either.
Oh, Jesus, the country will come to a fucking standstill.
Yeah, but it's just way too complicated to talk about it in, like, fancy soundbites. Yeah. You know, it's not, it's journal articles and you know, like a lot of work with therapists, and some therapists don't even get it themselves because they'll just see BDSM as trauma in itself, like as a blanket, like traumatic thing, rather than something that someone might also have trauma with, but the issue of what they're doing isn't the issue. So yeah, it's a complicated answer, which isn't really
a great question though. I really, whoever asked that, that's a genuinely very good question. So please send in more, because obviously you're a very good audience participants.
Shauna's just texting me to say she's restarting her computer, so
she won't be long. I came in to say that she just had problems there. She had to restart her computer, and I'm also equally terrified. So I will disappear again now in a second.
Fair enough, Tony. By the end of this, you know, podcast session, you'll be all ready to try all sorts of new things.
Oh, Jesus, let's go.
No, let's not go there. Let's not go there. I'm going to say one thing on that question that you asked, and I'm going to take it away from there. The depiction on screen is very hard to watch. And I think I want to say that's a credit to also the people, the actors, the directors, the way it's put together, how it's produced. I think it's very hard to watch. So I'm only saying that as I'm going to take, I want to take away the actual idea of what happens, what transpires, and just say, as someone who is totally, as you guys know, a prude and looking at that, it was a hard watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I might have texted your man afterwards and said, listen, I don't know if I can finish the end of your show because I'm really...
Oh, happy. Sorry. Are we getting a clanger? Are we getting... We pick up that name drop you just fucking put in there, Tony. Jesus.
Me and my friend.
Yeah. No, but I think it does raise interesting points because like even in the book, like you can feel it so viscerally in the book and you're like, this is not a pleasant thing. And then when they announced they were going to put it on the telly, I was just like, I don't think... No discredit to anyone involved in the show, but I just think it's like, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to watch that because it's just too close to the bone. It's the same, like, and that's the obviously changes with different people, but it's just, I mean, I don't think it'll do as much damage as 50 Shades of Grey did, so I think we're probably all right there.
Yeah, no. But like, it is good that, you know, we have representations of sex when it goes wrong. Like, once they're, you know, depicted in a good way as such. But like, the fact that like, we have this idea sometimes of like, look at Hollywood sex. It's literally like, always a man and a woman because it's never anything else. And they like, fall back onto the bed and everything's perfect. And the sheets obviously, you know, cover the nipples because you can never have nipples on a woman. And then like, everyone's happy. And it's like, there is no communication. They both had orgasms at the same time because that rarely happens. Like, that's not a real life thing as such. And like, no one seems to have issues with like sexual dysfunction or, you know, having a healthy sex life after sexual trauma and stuff. And it's like, we don't really talk about these things. And then
they never show just like fun laughing sex, which is very common. You know, like
it should be.
I mean, that's what I did enjoy about the first scene in Normal People, is that there's laughing and then there's like, it's good representation for women with small tits, which I'm here for.
I was not expecting you to say that, actually. I was expecting something else on that. So I'm coming back there now. Awesome. And don't forget, everyone, we can still send in your questions. Shauna,
I'm back.
Yay.
Wi-Fi is still not working, but I'm on my 4G.
That's okay. Actually, Caroline before you froze, Caroline was asking you about storage of sex toys. I didn't realize they could melt, first of all.
Oh, yeah. If you have like non-silicone, like PVC sex toys, so like the jelly dildos, the ones that are like see-through. I don't know like how much Caroline, how did you explain jelly dildos?
I didn't, but if anyone's stuck, just think of like the old school Rampant Rabbit, like that's
yeah. Nice. So like that clear kind of like, it's like jelly or like crystal jelly or whatever. It's basically like, it's made of PVC, and like PVC in its natural state is a solid. So if you think of like your pipes at home, they're made out of PVC, but they're like solid. But like to get PVC to that like weird jelly dildo texture, you have to pump in tons and tons of plastic softeners. But that just means like on a molecular level, that the plastic itself is like, it's not quite a solid state. So if you like let a jelly dildo just like sit for long enough, it'll just like, it'll like disintegrate and melt. So like I did a fun, like, Smitten Kitten were my inspo for this. Like they kind of did it first, but you can get like a mason jar from IKEA and like chop up like a jelly dildo and put it into like a little mason jar and like leave it for fun out in the sun, like leave it in a window or whatever. And just watch like over time, those jelly pieces will just like melt into this like gelatinous mess at the bottom of your mason jar. Yay. Science.
That's not terrifying. And this is, presumably, why PVC, amongst other reasons, is it a body safe material, is it? Or is
it? It's not body safe.
No. And that's because it's porous, or?
Like PVC on its own is fine. Like, it's not the PVC you have to worry about. It's like, it's the plastic softeners that are dodgy. But like PVC, yeah, it's like, it's porous. So you have, like it's twofold, because it's porous, it can harbor bacteria, but it also means that the plastic softeners can leach out through the pores. So sometimes like when you get like a jelly dildo, you'll get this like weird condensation, like dildo sweat on like the inside of like the packaging. And that's because it's like, it's off gassing and like leaching the plastic softener.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really fucking gross and toxic and like not fun. Like people have ended up in like their doctors and their hospitals with like chemical burns because of their dildo. But then they like go to the dildo store and be like, your dildo burnt me. And they're like, it said novelty only. Hey. So
who buys dildos for novelty? It's not like people like novelty stuff. Like, okay, like if I'm gonna buy a dildo, I want to actually fucking use it. I don't want to burn me. Like,
even the body safe ones are labeled like, well, not all of them, but some of like a lot of them are labeled as like novelty only, which is so dumb. Like, it just seems like such a get out of jail free. They don't even need a get out of jail free card because like the industry's not regulated. So yeah. I don't know. But I do have mixed feelings about regulation. Like my feelings about regulation over time have softened, because if we did have hardline regulation on sex toys, all of the small like mom and pop manufacturers, the people who really galvanize the body safe movement, would be out of business, because the only people who could afford to like make sex toys with like FDA approval, because FDA approval is so fucking expensive. So there's a good few like big brands out there who might currently be making PVC toys, but because they're so big, they'd be the only ones that if like regulation did come in, they'd be the only ones who could afford it. So like small like manufacturers, like let's say like BS Atelier in Spain, Go to Miche, who are just like a couple over in England. You've got like Geeky Sex Toys over in England, like a lot of like people who do like small batch silicone, they would be completely gone from the industry.
Mm. We've got a question in here for one of the attendees, Claire O'Connor. I was reading the other day, Dealz are bringing in vibrators for $150, and someone in the comments said battery acid is leaked out on theirs. What's your thoughts on Dealz rolling them out? Can you hear me?
Here you go.
Do you hear the question, Shauna?
Yeah, sorry, it froze for a second there. On Dealz bringing in vibrators
for $150.
Yeah, they've had that for a while though, haven't they?
That's what I thought. Yeah,
years. They can if they want. Like, it's not. Like, I've had a look at some of the ones that they have, like, they're just like little cheapy, like, hard plastic. I haven't seen anything that's like not body safe. A good way of testing it though, if it is body safe, like hard plastic is fine. If it's a hard plastic vibrator, it mightn't feel the best, but it's like, it's fine. It's like, it does the job. If it smells like plastic, if it has that really heavy plasticky smell that like gives you a headache, then don't use it. Like, it's not silicone. Silicone shouldn't have a smell. Another way of testing it, though, you can't test it on a vibrator because you can't do this to a vibrator, but like if you boil your toys, so like anything that doesn't have a vibrating component, because you don't want to, like, you don't want to melt your vibrator or like bork the electronics in it. But if you want to test like if a 100% silicone toy is 100% silicone, make dildo soup with it. So you just like, you boil the hob, chuck your toys in that you want to like test out, and if it is like a PVC jelly toy, there will be like this weird film that'll float to the top, and it'll smell really bad, or it'll just like melt completely. But a silicone toy won't do that, because if you think about it, like, we have so many different silicone products in the kitchen anyway, so like it's really heat resistant. You have like silicone baking trays and like spatulas and like oven mitts and shit. So yeah, like if you have 100% silicone toy, you should be able to boil it just fine.
But not make actual soup. Like, don't put onions and carrots into it.
That puts a whole new meaning on taking the soup as well.
Yeah. Like a bottle or something. I was talking to someone about this earlier, and they asked about the quietest sex toys because they're living with their parents but still want to get off.
Oh, Jesus.
A magic wand, as much as it's amazing, is very loud. So
very loud.
Do you have recommendations for what toys people could use if they're trying to get off on the quiet, on the QT?
Yes, absolutely. So any of like the Svakom toys, so like Svakom, they're a really great brand that do like relatively quiet, rechargeable vibrators. Stationary toys that don't vibrate. If it doesn't vibrate, it can't make a sound. So butt plugs don't make sounds unless you do the like I'm trying to do a like poppy.
Do that again, because I just want to like imagine Tony listening to that and just dying.
I can't do it properly. My Dermot and I do that to each other all the time. He hates it when I do it because I'll never stop. I get like addicted to like doing the popping sound, and he's just like, "Would you just please shut up?" But yeah,
a sex toy owner.
So like stationary toys don't make sounds. But vibrator wise, yeah, Svakum do like, so the Svakum CC and the Svakum Siren. Also, what was the other one that I was recommending to people? Sorry, I've had a drink, so I can barely. The Satisfier toys, as good as they are a little bit on the loud side. So, like, I have a few, like, Satisfier mini vibes that are kind of, like, 45, 50 quid. They're really good, but they're a bit on the rumbly side, so I probably wouldn't recommend them. Oh, yeah, the Jiju Rabbit Bullet. It's, the little blue one with the little ears. That one's really quiet as well.
Nice. You could just tell your parents you're cutting your hair, using an epilator on your legs. I don't know, like...
Yeah,
every time.
It's like, God, you really like shaving your legs, Rachel.
I do. They're very smooth.
In the winter, you have to hack through like the winter legs. So, you know, it can take a while.
Oh, I think you've frozen again.
No worries. No, you're back now. We might open it up because we probably have about 5-ish minutes left. So we might open it up to our participants if they want to ask any live questions. And Rachel's going to take care of the tech on that side.
Yeah, well, if anyone has any Q&As, they can submit it. I did actually have a question while we're waiting for that. How often should you clean your sex toys, Shauna? And I mean the ones,
clean them after every use, Rachel.
Even if, so does that apply to, obviously, it would obviously apply to bullet vibrators as well. It's okay. Bullet vibrators that you don't put inside yourself, I suppose. Every use. And what should you clean them with?
You should still, I say that, not everybody does that. But yeah, even if you're not putting the vibrator inside yourself, you should still maintain, like, especially, we're in the middle of a pandemic, Rachel.
I'm not saying I do it, I'm asking the question. what should you clean it with, now that, since I've asked?
Soap and water. So like just like the same way you'd wash your hands, soap and water. If it's a vibrator that has a battery in it, you need to take the battery out just so it doesn't get like into the compartment. Most of them have like a little rubber like O-ring, so that shouldn't be a problem. But yeah, like take the battery out. If it is a rechargeable vibrator, the vast majority of them are waterproof now. They're like encased in silicone, so that's no problem. So just like warm soapy water. If it's a mains powered, like a Doxy or a Hitachi Magic Wand or a Lei Wand, obviously make sure that it's unplugged first and just wash the bit that was touching your bits. Don't like be washing the main like handle component. Just be sensible when washing, but wash your fucking toys.
That'd be like throwing like a toaster into a bathtub. Like, you don't want to get electrocuted with your plug-in sex toy in the sink or the bath. Like, that's, no one wants to be found like that. That's
exactly.
No. Do we have any questions?
I shouldn't have to say like, don't bring the mains powered vibrator into the bath with you, but the President of the United States suggested that we drink bleach, so
you can never Fair. Be careful.
I've got no more questions. So if anyone has anything they want to ask Shauna, please put it in. Otherwise, thank you so much for doing this, Shauna.
Good old luck.
You said put it in.
Listen, hi Tony. Tony's come back to, I don't know, shame us.
I've just recovered. I've just got up off the floor because I heard dildos melt and that almost killed me. No, Shauna, thanks so much for coming on. Can I ask one really broad question? And it's not for one specific. It's when it comes to this stuff, and I, as someone who Crazy. Kind of is totally a prude, how are we supposed to bring people like me into the conversation that we understand that this is not an alien world, you know, that this is not something that just it's to be shamed, and because that was how I was reared, I suppose. I'm Catholic atheist, you know.
Yeah. I just like, I think like what I tell people is like, even if you're not there yet, like that's totally okay. I have like followers on Instagram who have never purchased a toy for me. They might never purchase a toy from me. And that's like, that's totally fine too. Like, that's what I want to get across. It's like, you don't have to own a sex toy to be sex positive. If it's not for you, it's not for you. And that's totally fine. But just like, know that like wherever you are on the spectrum of like, okay to like not okay with sex toys, like that's perfectly fine and perfectly normal. Like, what you enjoy is what you enjoy. I don't want you to feel like you're a prude because you don't use sex toys. But at the same time, like, I wouldn't want you shaming other people for using sex toys. We all just need to have more compassion for our sexual proclivities.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Whatever form that they take. Yeah. Lou sent a message in. She likes the puns about being put it in the ups and downs of sex and something about the bare bones of it. Yeah, it's a puntastic business that you're in.
It is great for puns. It means that I'm like, it's very easy for me to get like into the news and into like the media because of like the pun worthiness of a lot of the stuff that I do. And like sub editors love that shit. So like it's one nice way that I kind of get around Facebook and Instagram not allowing me to advertise, is like I'm very easily newsworthyable.
Yeah.
So it balances it out. Like, I'm not allowed to advertise, but at the same time, like, if I can come up with a good pun or like give a good interview, people are happy to like to write about me or like have me on their podcasts.
Yeah. And it's part of the reason why we love you.
Is that right?
Awesome.
It's a hard business, Shauna. Is there stiff competition?
I was filling a gap, Rachel.
Hey, and Tony is gone. And on that note, I think we'll probably leave it there.
Yeah, definitely before Tony has a heart attack. Listen, thanks everyone for joining in. And this has been so much fun. Thank you so much, Shauna. Where can people find you?
So they can go to my website, sexshoppa.ie. So that's sexshoppa.ie. I'm also big on the Twitter and the Instagram. And by big, I mean, I'm okay. I'm on there every day. I did a really lovely, well, I thought it was lovely, Twitter thread yesterday that I wish got more love, because it was the 40th anniversary of the Mount St. Helens eruption, which was like a couple hundred miles away from my house, 5 years before I was born, but it sort of overshadowed everything about my life. And so I did like a lovely little like thread about growing up in the shadow of two volcanoes. And like the effect that had on me as a child, and nobody liked it. So if you're listening to this and you have an interest in volcanoes, huh?
One of the great reasons.
Eruption. So bad. Yeah.
So I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm like, I do stories a couple times a week, and I'm on Twitter quite a lot. And it's just at sexshoppa, all one word.
Perfect. Thank you.
Would recommend it. She's a great follow.
Yeah, opposite. And again, like some people, you're just actually just entertaining to watch, which, you know, with your dance moves and stuff as well. So you do good content. So you do. Awesome. Oh. Listen, thanks everyone. And again, if you like the podcast and Rachel's as well, so Rachel's Disturbing the Peace, you can pop over and rate and review us on iTunes. And that really helps us get the word out and, you know, spread the love. And that's awesome. And if you super like us, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Tony would be very happy that we got that plug in there. I'm delighted.
There are no nudes on the tortoise shack. You'll have there to follow no Tony nudes. For that specifically.
There are nudes on the main feed, but if you want the clothes content, you pay for it. It's premium. Pay for it,
yeah. Yeah, that's a different OnlyFans approach and stuff.
Yeah, it's a Tony fans instead.
Yeah, definitely. Well, listen, everyone, stay safe, and we'll be back to regular podcasts next week. And thank you so much, Shauna and Rachel and Tony and all our listeners as well. So
thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys. Take care.